Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and today is all about F1, the movie. I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on the movie, the premiere, the after party, just the whole thing in general. No spoilers in this episode, but that being said, if you like going into movies knowing absolutely nothing about the movie, then maybe wait to listen to this until after you've seen it, because the movie comes out this week. But that said, yeah, no spoilers, just trying to give my thoughts, probably a lot of things you've already seen on reviews or on social media. I think it's going to be hard to go into this movie not knowing a single thing, especially if you're an F1 fan. So yeah, no spoilers. I also put out a piece on Substack, which I'll link in the episode description, but kind of that's more my thoughts around this whole thing and this whole project existing in the first place, how Hollywood and Silicon Valley and F1 global sport are coming together to do the same thing and sort of what's at stake underneath that. I think it's more of a business POV there. So I won't be talking about that too much on this episode because this is more about the event and my thoughts on the movie itself. But if you're interested more in the business side of things, I would highly recommend checking that out. I find it super interesting, especially just kind of sitting in between a lot of these worlds sometimes. So yeah, in this episode, I'm going to be answering all of your questions. You all sent in a lot, so there is lots to discuss. I'm going to be talking about the event and then the movie. So let's start with the premiere because that was amazing. And for context, I was in New York for the premiere. So this is kind of all about that experience plus watching the movie. So first up, who was the type of audience and group targeted for the movie premiere from a promo POV? This is from Life Between Pit Stops. I was actually surprised that there were not very many content, F1 content creators there. It was, of course, cast and crew of the movie, Apple executives, Tim Cook, Tim Apple, as I like to call him, but lots of other Apple people there as well. Warner Brothers, different, I'm sure, like talent agencies, other celebrities. Shout out to John Hamm for showing up. A lot of musicians, so people who worked on the album. Dom Dalla was there. John Mayer, Mumford & Sons, some producers of songs. There were different levels of access per se. So some had red carpet access, some had just movie access, some had after party access. But not everybody had exactly the same thing. I was lucky to have all three, which was literally insane. Thanks to Marriott Bonvoy, who was a sponsor of the premiere, which I'll talk about in a bit. So yeah, the audience for the premiere was sort of a hodgepodge, but I think across Hollywood, Silicon Valley, F1, of course, there were maybe not as many from the F1 world as I thought. There was definitely press, like Laura Winter was hosting the red carpet alongside Madeline White. So a little bit of a mix of sort of journalism with influencer, creator, which I thought was cool. But yeah, fewer F1 creators there than I expected. Next question from Ann Hahn. Who owns it? How does the money side of it work? I think this is referring to the movie itself. So the movie is produced by Apple Original Films and Warner Brothers. So that's kind of Hollywood and tech. And the distribution is owned by Apple, so it will come out in theaters first, which I think is a Warner Brothers situation, and then eventually it will come out on Apple TV. And then F1, I'm not sure what the economics behind the scenes are in terms of what F1 gets financially from this movie, but they definitely signed off on anything and sort of lent a lot of the brand, the trademark, etc. So there's definitely some money flowing to F1 through this. I just don't know how the deal is structured between the three entities. And then you have some people from the F1 world who were involved in the movie. So Toto Wolff, I think, is an executive producer. Lewis Hamilton, of course, is a producer. So you have a lot of people kind of involved in and around the movie. Okay, next question. Please tell us every single detail of the premiere, from Jennifer Legere. I'll be talking about it as I go through questions, but maybe just to give you a sense of the setup. So there was an activation in Times Square, which was open to the public from like 10 a.m. to sometime in the afternoon before it became the red carpet situation. But there was so much happening there. There were DJs. Marriott Bonvoy had a glam bot situation. There was sim racing, blowouts, the reaction test, like all the different things, which was really cool. A lot of fans came by and they had, you know, some host on a microphone and a TV giving out tickets, which was really cool. So that was a good vibe. It was a little bit rainy, but it was still fun. F1 just took over Times Square, which is cool. As a New Yorker, I'm not a huge Times Square fan. I do try to avoid it. It's like super crowded. There's a lot happening, but it is really cool when a sport like Formula One can just completely take it over. They also had the gray/red carpet situation. And then the cars kind of lined up in a fake grid, which I thought was so cool. They had the starting lights and the framing was really cool. You could like see all of Times Square with the F1 movie and then the starting lights. A couple other questions: were all the drivers there and was Max not there? Where was Oscar from Leray M09, T. Alexander 14, and Quinn Tilling? I think it was so on brand for the drivers who came and did not come. So the ones, I think 15 of them came. The ones who did not were Max Verstappen, Oscar Piastri, Fernando Alonso, Lance Stroll, and Kimi Antonelli. Now, Max is a new father. He probably would have wanted to just sim race anyway instead of coming to an event like this. I don't think he even watched the movie at the driver screening that they hosted. Not a super big surprise that Max was not there. Oscar also doesn't seem like his kind of event, but yeah, I was surprised that he didn't show up. And then the two Aston Martin drivers, Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll, were not there, although Lawrence Stroll was there, which I thought was interesting. And then Kimi Antonelli, who apparently had to go home for exams or something. I love that for him. A very studious boy. But generally, I'm really happy that all the drivers who did show up showed up. It was really cool. They seemed happy, if not a little out of their element, maybe besides Lewis. They kind of just like didn't fully know where to stand. All he said at the beginning on the microphone during one of his interviews, this is scarier than a qualifying lap in Monaco. So it was a lot for them, I think, but it was really cool. And Lewis just looked incredible. One question relatedly, most exciting to be that close to Brad or to Lewis Hamilton in a suit, from Nicole D716. Definitely Lewis. I mean, I'm an F1 girly, so seeing Lewis always is the best of the best. I'm a huge Lewis fan, as people know. But that said, it was so cool to see Brad Pitt and sort of the Hollywood machine behind these stars, I think, in the flesh was really cool. So the whole thing was amazing, but always great to see Lewis. Did you see Dom Dalla from Teudido? You know it, and I actually gave him a shout out on the red carpet. I was like, yeah, Dom Dalla, because a lot of people were stoked about the celebrities and the drivers and whatever. And I think some of the musicians didn't get as much love. And so I wanted to make sure he was appreciated, which he gave me a little smile back, which was fun. Any surprise cameos from Caroline S17? So at the premiere, John Hamm showed up, which was so cool. I mean, his career is on fire right now. He's the star of Mad Men and Your Friends and Neighbors, which is a new show. And then John Mayer was there. Mumford & Sons was there. I think John Mayer was a writer or producer on one of the songs on the album. So it was cool to see some of the musicians there too. In the movie, I don't think there were any like crazy cameos, but there are some really fun ones if you're an F1 fan. So just keep an eye out for some of those. What was funny because I was standing right next to the paparazzi and all the photographers, professional photographers on the red carpet, a lot of them did not have any idea who the drivers were. It was kind of hilarious. And we actually made a good team because they knew all the stars and the people in the movie and the production crew and the costume designer and whatever. And I knew the F1 drivers and the adjacent F1 people. And so we were kind of telling each other who people were, which was hilarious. We were helping each other out. I got a question of, how do you land partnerships like these? The jealousy is so real. To be honest, I think part of this was luck and just having a relationship with the right people and the right brands. So Marriott Bonvoy was a sponsor of F1 the movie premiere, and they do a lot of stuff in F1 generally. They're a partner of the Mercedes team as well. And so it was just incredibly lucky. I was so happy when I heard this, because the Marriott Bonvoy people do partnerships, I feel like, the absolute best. Everything they do with Mercedes and George Russell, I'm sure you've seen some of that content. And so when I heard that they were sponsoring the premiere, I was so excited because they just do things with such intentionality. So it was such a pinch me moment. And I am so, so grateful that I was invited by them. I'll never forget when I found out that they were even doing this movie. It was on my vision board for years to go to this premiere. It was like number one on there of like, I really want to go to the F1 movie premiere. And I had only imagined it in my wildest dreams. So Marriott Bonvoy made that a reality for me. I stayed at Le Méridien, New York, Fifth Avenue, which was so cool. It's very central, close to everything. It's a super cool Marriott Bonvoy brand. It feels a little European, a little luxe. I felt kind of like a princess, but they took such good care of us the whole weekend. It was really fun also to be with four other creators. Three were F1 specific, and then one was this travel creator, Aurélie from France, who, if you haven't checked out her content, she's amazing. The videos she does, I'm just like, whoa, so cool. So that was awesome. And I say this about Marriott Bonvoy every single time, but you really can experience these things as a member. Like, there were members there who had bid their points to get experiences to this. And Marriott Bonvoy also does 1 point drops. So literally just for 1 point, you can get crazy experiences. And it's not just about staying in a hotel, which is obviously nice, but it's like the moments around travel and the moments of the things that you love, whether that's sports or music or whatever else. So yeah, huge thanks to Marriott Bonvoy for inviting me to this. Okay, now let's get into the movie, because this is the juicy part. And I got a lot of questions, of course, about the movie itself. And again, no spoilers, but if you don't want to know anything about the movie, then don't listen. Your honest opinion on if it was good or not from Brit Bees. Was it good? We are going opening day to IMAX screening CM Ruiz 09 and movie from 1 to 10. Flor Villaseca? I'm not gonna lie. I had been nervous for a long time leading up to this movie and just praying that it would be good and do the sport justice and bring in new fans. It's a huge investment, but it's also a risk. Like, you want to portray the sport in the right way. You want to capture a new audience while also keeping authentic, real fans happy, which is a very hard line to toe. It has all the right ingredients, but the trailers had made me a little bit skeptical, if I'm being honest. Like, I wasn't sure which audience they were going for with the trailers. Like, some of them felt a little artsy for a blockbuster movie. But after having seen it, I can confidently say I loved it. In terms of a 1 to 10 scale, I honestly would give it a 9 out of 10. That was my feeling walking out of the movie. And yes, I have criticisms, which I will get to, but I absolutely loved it. Now, the big caveat is you have to go in with the right mindset, which I will also discuss. But in terms of the things that I did love about it, the casting is, I thought, out of this world. Like, maybe not all performances were 10 out of 10, but Damson Idris is just chef's kiss. I think he's going to actually be a huge star. He's done some TV stuff, but this, I feel like, is kind of a breakout role for him, especially starring next to Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, as I wrote in my Substack, just kind of does what Brad Pitt does best. He was really good in that movie. I think a lot of people were skeptical on, you know, a 50-year-old driver coming back into the sport, and Brad Pitt's a little old. I think he's a decent amount older than 50, but he looks great. He acts great. He plays the right sort of character. I think it was a really good casting call on that one. I liked Carrie Condon a lot. Now, I'll talk about the whole portrayal of women in the movie, of course, but I thought she was really good, and I hope that we see her in more stuff. I really liked Damson's mom and his manager as well. So those are some kind of like fun, smaller roles that you can pay attention to that are fun. And then I think you've probably seen a lot of people talking about this, and my opinion is going to be no exception to the consensus here. The on-track racing is, I think, the best that's ever been done in a movie about Formula One. It is just, you feel like you're in the car. The movie is like, I don't know, 70 to 80% racing, which I don't know. I hope that non-F1 fans will enjoy that part, but I think it's so well done that it doesn't even matter that it's all racing, even if you're not an F1 fan. It's kind of like the scenes in Top Gun, and now it's the same director as Top Gun Maverick, but it's kind of the scenes in the plane. Like, I found that the stuff I was most looking forward to when watching Top Gun Maverick. I was like, get in the plane. I want to see them do the tricks and do the crazy stuff. Even though I'm not a pilot, I have no desire to be a pilot. Yeah, I don't watch that as a sport or whatever, but I think it was really, really cool. So amazing job on the racing scenes. I know some people have said that it's long. I personally didn't notice that. It kind of flew by for me, maybe because I'm an F1 fan, maybe because I've been waiting for this movie for years. I don't know, but I totally recognize also that not everyone is going to have the same opinion as me, but I did try to go in objectively. So why is it not a 10 out of 10? My deduction is kind of related to the next questions. So I got a lot of questions on this. Thoughts on how women were portrayed, Lotus and Anais, and does it represent women fairly? Worried about the Brad engineer relationship as plot point from Katie Barrett. I need to know your thoughts on a female representation in the movie, Quinn Tilling. Does it represent women fairly? No. Do most Hollywood movies? No. A lot of people have been talking about the Bechdel test, which is you have to have at least two women in the movie and they have to talk to each other for, I don't know what the amount of time is, but it cannot be about a male. They have to be talking to each other about something else. I'm pretty sure this movie fails that test miserably. I don't think there is really any conversations between two women talking about something other than a man. And I think that's a miss. And I think especially in a sport like Formula One, which is incredibly male dominated, there's so much effort on championing women in motorsport. The female fandom of the sport is growing like crazy. We're now over 40% of the fandom. I think it was a missed opportunity not to portray women in a better light. And I think that's real criticism, and I think that's fair criticism. And I think that Emily Selleck's article in Motorsport, if you haven't read that, captures this perfectly. And I highly recommend you go read that if you haven't. The things that didn't bother me as much is the romance of it all. I don't know, maybe I'm so conditioned to Hollywood that I didn't really expect anything different. And I think that with how much on-track action there is, there had to be some sort of plot point or romance or intrigue for non-F1 fans to latch onto. Now, could they have chosen his love interest to be someone other than the technical director of the team? Yes, but I do appreciate the fact that it's a smart, confident woman. So the romance piece of it didn't really bother me as much. And I think the story is about so much more than their love story or whatever it is. Like, you'll see kind of what that becomes or doesn't become. Like, it really is a racing movie with sort of this plot on the side. The two things that bugged me more than the romance of it all was, one, that Brad Pitt, this driver, did have to get involved in the technical design of the car for it not to be essentially a tractor. So it sort of portrayed this really smart, accomplished technical director, first female technical director of a team, as someone who kind of needed this old driver's help after not having been in the sport for whatever, 30 years. And so I didn't like that choice. And I think that they could have done something different there. And then the other character arc that bothered me was the female pit crew member. Now, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's not really much to spoil. They sort of portray her as someone who makes mistakes, and she's the only part of the pit crew that has any storyline. And it just felt like they categorized these women as weak characters in a way that they didn't have to. So that's my critique of the way that they portrayed women. Does that make me feel like we need to burn this movie to the ground? No. Do I think they could have portrayed women in a better light in this movie? 100%. And should they have? Yes. But I think the movie is not about that. The movie is about the racing. And I don't think that burning this movie to the ground just because of that is necessarily the right frame of mind. Now, that is my own opinion. I totally respect your opinion if there's no way to look past that. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. But what if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment and spend less than you would with other clouds. But how is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all of your biggest workflows. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
The other thing that people have been talking about is how the Simone Ashley thing was kind of weird, how she was supposed to be, I think, playing Damson Idris's love interest, but then just got totally cut from the movie despite having been promoting it on social media and otherwise. So I can't really speculate on what happened behind the scenes there. I have no idea, but just seemed a little weird. But all of that to say, I think this movie is really incredibly done. I am so happy. Like, I felt relieved walking out of the theater that this movie was that good and that it's going to bring more fans into the sport and whatnot. I think you have to go into the movie with the right mindset as a Formula One fan. If you listen to this podcast, the movie is not made for you, most likely. Of course, they want you to enjoy it and they want you to love it, but it is a Hollywood film. It is not a documentary, which is why I've been a little bit surprised by some of the F1 journalist critiques and the lens with which they decided to review the movie. Like, obviously come at it with an objective lens and don't support it, no questions asked, and critiques are totally welcome and warranted and all of that. But it feels like some felt like this was supposed to be a documentary. And there was so much kind of critique around, oh, this isn't quite right, or that's not right, or it wouldn't happen like that in the real sport. It's not just made for F1 fans, and it's not a documentary. It's a Hollywood movie. It's fiction. And this is such an insanely cool moment for the sport. And the cast and crew really pulled off an incredible feat. So I think the lens is like, is this entertaining? If it doesn't portray the sport in a bad light, which I don't think it does, then let's be excited about this moment for the sport. I was a little surprised by some of the critiques. Next question, is it PG-13 for language, contemplating taking kiddo opening weekend? Good question. I wasn't really watching for this, so I can't say with 100% certainty, but it felt pretty PG-13 to me. Is the movie predictable? I've read that a lot from Marvis Ubero. I mean, I guess as much as like Hollywood movies are typically predictable, I wasn't really expecting it not to be predictable because it's not an underground artsy indie film. Like, it's a Hollywood blockbuster trying to appeal to a mass audience. So in that sense, like, yes, there's romance. Yes, there's conflict. Yes, there's resolution. You expect certain things to eventually happen for the team. And I think it would have been a weirder choice for them to have put some crazy twist in, like, were people mad that in Top Gun they accomplished the mission at the end of the day? I don't know. It doesn't really bother me a little bit that things are more or less predictable. So I don't know. I was just kind of going in for the entertainment of it all. How overly fabricated is the movie? Is it as bad as Drive to Survive? And does the movie accurately depict the Formula One world and life of the racing world? I think similarly to what I was saying before, it fabricated in the sense of it's fiction, I think, is okay. Like, it's a Hollywood movie. Like I was saying, it's not a documentary. If you take issue with Hollywood more broadly, I think that's another debate. But I think the expectation that this is supposed to be like ground zero truth for the sport is the wrong frame of mind with which to analyze it. So I highly encourage you as F1 fans to go in with an open mind that it's entertainment. None of the sporting or production choices really bothered me on that front. I think my main reaction was just being blown away by how incredible the on-track action is. I think there are one or two incidents or choices on track that felt a little far-fetched to me, but I think close to everything portrayed has a sister incident in real life in Formula One history. So I think we also can't forget that Formula One is an absolutely insane sport where crazy things have happened, and it feels like fiction sometimes. Like if you think about Crashgate and all those things, I think, of course, Hollywood is going to make choices that are on the farther end of that spectrum. And especially if you're watching a two-hour movie, it's going to feel like there's a higher concentration of those events, which maybe wouldn't happen in one season. But I would say outside of maybe one or two choices, it felt like pretty realistic. And I think Lewis and F1's involvement really helped on that front. Like Lewis was consulting on this as a producer the entire time. F1 signed off on it. Let's not forget that F1 signed off on it. So if they thought the sport was being portrayed in a bad light, I'm not sure that they would have given it the green light. Which F1 driver was the best actor from Kate Stewart 1130? And do any of the drivers have any actual script lines from We Are the Chamberlains? I don't want to give any spoilers, but let's just say that F1 drivers are involved, but not particularly active. Will most F1 fans be happy with how the sport was portrayed? From F1, the news desk. I think it's hard to generalize this. I've heard mixed things from creators I've talked to about what did or didn't bug them. I think you just have to go in with the right mindset, and people will be happy that hopefully this will just be bringing more people into the fold. It's not a documentary. I will keep saying that. Will the movie be effective at drawing people into the F1 world and races? From Nicole D716. I definitely think so. One of the lines that you keep hearing the producers and the people behind the movie say is that they had this focus group where I think only like one or two of 20 people had seen F1 before, and they watched the movie. And after they watched the movie, they asked the question of, would you want to watch a Formula One race? And everyone raised their hands. So hopefully that's a good sign. Obviously that's a limited sample size, but I do think that it will bring more people into the fold for sure. Carlos spoke about Easter eggs throughout the movie. Any clues as to what we need to look out for from Beetled? And as a fan, what was your favorite thing about the movie? So these two questions for me are related, my answer to them. There were so many moments where I was like, oh my God, only real fans will get this Easter egg. And it's absolutely amazing. By far, my favorite part of the movie was the Easter eggs and references to iconic moments in the sport. Pay attention to some of the race broadcasting, the pit wall characters at one point. There's a question in a club from a girl that I thought was funny. Lewis looking at a certain car at the end of the season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of little nuggets and Easter eggs in there for real fans to really be happy about. Do you love Lewis even more now? From AJM Loves Kale. Yes. Yes. The answer is always yes. After party gossip, please. From Hey Nolan. I think I don't have a lot of gossip. I will say John Hamm was living his absolute best life. I didn't talk to him, but he just seems so fun and funny and doesn't take himself too seriously. And his career, as I was saying, is just absolutely on fire. And he was just enjoying the vibes. And I loved that for him. Did run into Stefano Domenicali, the CEO of F1, who has absolutely no idea who I am, but I was just like, I congratulated him. And he was very nice and gracious about it, even though he had no clue who I was. Last question. This is a sweet one. What age or era younger you would be the most blown away by your experience? From Cargo. I think 2021 or 2022 me, right when we started For the Girls, which was the predecessor of this podcast, I would not have believed this. I think it's hard to say any era earlier than that because I honestly didn't even know what F1 was until Drive to Survive. But if you had told me after watching Drive to Survive, knowing what the sport is, like right when we were starting this podcast, that I would be at the F1 movie premiere, which is a $300 million blockbuster Hollywood film, and just kind of being in the whole aura of it all, I would not have believed it. So those are the answers to all of your questions that you asked about the movie, about the premiere, about the after party, everything. I recognize that this is a piece of art. Everybody is going to have different opinions, especially as F1 fans. We're all very opinionated on the sport that we love, the drivers we love, making sure that this is being treated in the way that it should and with the care it deserves. I recognize people are going to have different opinions than I do. And I recognize some things are going to bother people more than others, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that to say, this is just my opinion. Everyone should be entitled to their own. And I think as a fan, you should just go and watch the movie, form your own opinions. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. And what I really hope is it brings more F1 fans into the sport, because that to me is what this is all about. Thanks for listening.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.